Chapter 23. Ezekiel 23. He uses the allegory of two adulterous sisters and what they are representative of here and their hearts and their lives. And he's comparing the northern and the southern kingdom to two sisters who were prostitutes. They began their acts of prostitution at an early age when they were down in Egypt, referring to the children of Israel as a whole, the northern and southern kingdom together as one nation or people. And so the adulterous act that he's referring to now is the disobedience or the sin and wrong that the children of Israel did to God after God had done all he'd done for them in their hearts and their lives. So as we look at this, and he talks about this prostitution, he talks about this adultery as the unfaithfulness of one party to another. And the northern and southern kingdom here have been very unfaithful to God. What would you have to say about our country we live in today? You see an adulterous lifestyle there? I do. The word of the Lord came to me and said, Son of man, there were two women, daughters of the same mother. They became prostitutes in Egypt, engaging in prostitution from their youth. In that land, their breasts were fondled and their virgin bosoms caressed. The older was named Ohola, and her sister was Holabiah. They were mine and gave birth to sons and daughters. Ohola is Samaria, and Oholabad is Jerusalem. Northern and southern kingdom. Oholola engaged in prostitution while she was still mine, and she lusted after her lovers, the Assyrians. And I want you to notice what the Assyrians did that drawed these Israelites so far away from God. Doesn't take much to lead somebody astray. That's what I'm trying to say. And watch what it says here. She lusted after her lovers, the Assyrians, their warriors, and clothed in blue, governors and commanders, all of them handsome young men and mounted horsemen. She gave herself as a prostitute to all the elite of the Assyrians and defiled herself with all the idols of everyone she lusted after. She did not give up the prostitution she began in Egypt, when during her youth, men slept with her, caressed her virgin bosom, and poured out their lust upon her. Therefore, because of this adulterous act and the way that she flipped out over the nation of Israel did the Assyrians, because they were so distinguished. Their military was in uniform, and their governors and commanders were handsome young men, it said, and they rode on those horses. And she just went crazy over. Verse 9 says, therefore I handed her over to her lovers, the Assyrians, for whom she lusted. They stripped her naked, took away her sons and daughters, and killed her with a sword. She became a byword among women, and punishment was inflicted on her. Now, the woman he's talking about to the Assyrians here was Ohola, and they stripped Ohola. Ohola was representative of Samaria, and Holabad is Jerusalem. And so what happened when the Babylonians come in and took charge? What'd they do? You're referring to these two girls, two sisters here now, as two nations, the Assyrians and the and Jerusalem. When they came to Jerusalem the first time, what did they get? The very best, didn't they? Come back the second time, what did they get? Everything else that was in. Third time, they got it all and then burnt the city, didn't they? And that's what he's talking about here when he said they stripped her naked and they took away her sons and daughters, you know, the very best, and took them into captivity down there. Daniel was in that bunch. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in that bunch. And so many others that were the young men who were so educated and smart. Sir? They took that the first time, didn't they? Huh? I believe they took it the first time. Yep. And when that's what the Lord said when he said he removed his presence from among them. I believe what it said. Verse 8 said, here, I'm at 11, her sister Oholibah saw this, yet in her lust and prostitution, she was more depraved than her sister. She too lusted after the Assyrians, the governors and commanders, the warriors in full dress, mounted horsemen, all handsome young men. I saw that she too defiled herself. Both of them went the same way. And so we see here that what was guiding her, this sister that he's talking about, what's guiding this nation? What they saw, those warriors, those governors, those counselors and stuff, had on those fine uniforms, dressed in blue, you know, had good-looking men riding on horses. It was something to draw them away. She lusted after them. Verse 14 says, but she carried her prostitution still further. That's bad enough. But the scripture says she saw men portrayed on a wall. Figures of Chaldeans portrayed in red with belts around their waist and flowing turbans on their head. All of them looked like Babylonian chariot officers, natives of Chaldea. As soon as she saw it, I can get this page separated. Soon as she saw it, she lusted after them and sent messengers to them in Chaldea. Then the Babylonians came to her, to the bed of love. And in their lust, they defiled her. Judah was supposed to make an alliance with Babylon, you know. What did God tell him to do? Go down there and do what? Make the best of it. That's right. Build your houses and live in them. Plant your garden and eat from them. Dig your wells and drink from them. All the things that they had to do. They're going to be there for 70 years. And for most, that's a lifetime. And he said, after she had been defiled by them, she turned away from them in disgust. So, having been treated like she was treated, they took the best of the best, along with the livestock and stuff, and all they could journey back with one, two, three times and stuff. And so, she didn't want to go to Babylon. Jerusalem did. So, what did they do? Made her pact to go to Egypt, didn't they? And let's see what it said here. I turned away from her in disgust, just as I turned away from her sisters. Verse 19 says, yet she became more and more promiscuous as she recalled the days of her youth when she was a prostitute in Egypt. There she lusted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys and whose emissions were like that of horses. So you long for the lewdness of your youth, when in Egypt your bosom was caressed and your young breast fondled. Wasn't what they thought he was going to be, was it? And this lewdness that he's talking about here, and this is the act of giving sexual favors. Is that rain or is that?
It's rain.
All right. Giving sexual favors instead of being faithful to a spouse or to God. We don't think of ourselves as being spiritually that way. But when we spend more time satisfying ourselves and seeking the advice of others rather than the advice of God, we make a mess out of things, don't we? Our hearts and our lives. 22 says, therefore, O Holibah, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will stir up your lovers against you, those you turned away from in disgust. And I will bring them against you from every side, the Babylonians, all the Chaldeans, the men of Pekod, and Sheol, and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them. Handsome young men, all of them governors and commanders, chariot officers, and men of high rank, all mounted on horses. They'll come against you with welcomes, chariots, and wagons, and with a throng of people. They will take up position against you on every side with large and small shields and with helmets, and I'll turn you over to them for punishment. And they will punish you according to their standard. I will direct my jealous anger against you, and they will deal with you in fury. They will cut off your noses and your ears, and those of you who are left will fall by the sword. They will take away your sons and daughters, and those of you who are left will be consumed by fire. They will also strip you of your clothes and take your fine jewelry. So I will put a stop to the lewdness and the prostitution you began in Egypt. You will not look on these things with longings or remember Egypt anymore. He just point blank told them what all their faults was, how they had reacted, what they were doing, and how he was going to end that in their hearts and their lives. What does people do today? How do we act? You know, we see something, we lust after it, desire it, try to figure out a way that we can get it, you know. A lot of times we get it and find out it ain't what we wanted, was it? And certainly wasn't what we needed in our hearts and our lives as we dealt with it. But they just kept looking at Babylon and the Assyrians and the Egyptians, how they prospered in everything, and God wasn't punishing them. And they were more wicked than the Israelites felt like they were. But yet, what'd he do? He gave place to Babylon. But he already told us, he told us in Jeremiah, and he told us again in Lamentation, he's told us already in the first part of Ezekiel here concerning that, you know, that, look, I'm just using them, paraphrasing for you, I'm just using them to deal my raft on y'all. When I'm through with y'all, then I'll deal with them. They may got a free ride, but it was only for 70 years, and then God was going to deal with them in their hearts and their lives. Verse 28 says, for this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I'm about to hand you over to those you hate, to those you turned away from in disgust. They will deal with you in hatred and take away everything you have worked for. They will leave you naked and bare, and the shame of your prostitution will be exposed. Your lewdness and promiscuity, I can't say that word very good, have brought you this upon you. because you lusted after the nations and defiled yourself with their idols. You have gone the ways of your sister, so I will put her cup in your hands. And then he's got a little verse here that he's going to say. But when he said here, you have lusted after the nations and defiled yourself with their idols. You've gone the ways of your sisters. What's he referring to there? What did they do? Go all the way back, women, to the Israelites and the River Jordan. And the Lord done what? Rolled back to the waters. And they all crossed over on dry ground. 39 years prior to that, Moses tried to get them across, and they refused because there was what? Giants in the land. That's all they could see was those giants. So it cost them 39 more years. Every male above the age of 20 died in the desert, right? So a lot of heartache and pain and suffering. It was unnecessary there. And what he's telling them here is, remember when I sent you into the promised land, the land flowing with milk, the most fertile land, and all the God gave it to them. They went in, possessed it. What are they supposed to do? Look at all them pretty women and say, "Woo-wee, boy, we in a..." No. What were they supposed to do? Kill them all. He didn't tell. But they just couldn't bear the thought of these bunch, you know, they can benefit us here. This little bunch, we're going to keep a few of them. They can benefit. God knew all the time what was they going to do. Yeah. Yeah. Then they're going to get after them and destroy them. All right, Miss Van Winnie, you behave now. You it's hard to do without you ladies. I'll agree with you 100%. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You will drink your sister's cup. What was intended for the other nations? He said it's a cup that's large and deep. It'll bring scorn and derision, for it holds so much. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of ruin and desolation, the cup of your sister Samaria. You will drink it and drain it dry. You will dash it into pieces and tear your breast. I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. What's the drink that they're going to drink? The blood of all those that's going to go up against those Babylonians. 35, therefore, anytime you see that, it's because of the 34 verses before this. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Since you have forgotten me and thirst me behind your back, you must bear the consequences of your lewdness and prostitution. They're going to have to pay the price. Wasn't intended for them, but because of their sin and wrong. The Lord said to me, son of man, will you judge Ohola and Oholibah? Then confront them with their detestable practices, for they have committed adultery and blood is on their hands. They committed adultery with their idols. They even sacrificed their children, whom they bore to men as food for them. You remember what they did? Eat their own children, didn't they? Killed them, burned them, at the stake, then. They also have done this to me. At that same time, they defiled my sanctuary and desecrated my Sabbaths. On the very day they sacrificed their children to their idols, they entered my sanctuary and desecrated it. Took all the golden vessels and stuff that was used. That is what they did in my house. They even sent messengers for men who came from a far away. And when they arrived, you bathed yourself for them, painted your eyes, and put on your jewelry. They got all dolled up, didn't they? Some good-looking gentlemen's coming to town. They from another country. You sat on an elephant's couch with a table spread before it on which you had placed the incense and oil that belonged to me. All the stuff that was, should have been used in the temple for God's glory, man's using for his own. The noise of a carefree crowd was around her. Sabines were brought from the desert, along with men from the rabble. And they put bracelets on the arms of the women and her sisters and beautiful crowns on their head. Then I said about the one worn out by adultery, now let them use her as a prostitute, for that is all she is. And they slept with her, as men sleep with a prostitute. So they slept with those lewd women, Ohola and Oholadad. But righteous men will sentence them to the punishment of women who commit adultery and shed blood because they are adulterous and blood is on their hands. This is what the Sovereign Lord said. Bring a mob against them. Give them over to the terror and plunder. The mob will stone them and cut them down with their swords. They will kill their sons and daughters and burn down their houses. So I will put an end to the lewdness in the land, that all women may take warning and not imitate you. You will suffer the penalty for your lewdness and bear the consequences of your sin of idolatry. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. And don't sound like God's going to have much pity on them to me, does he? And his illustration of these two sisters, the southern and the northern kingdom, and how they've been enemies at times. There's one nation together when they crossed over, got split, now back together. It's an amazing thing. Chapter 24, we're going to talk about this cooking pot here a little bit. And it said, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, record this date, this very date, because the king of Babylon has laid siege to Jerusalem this very day. Tell this rebellious house a parable and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Put on the cooking pot, put it on, and pour water into it. Sound like they're fixing to start doing what? Preparing a meal or something, doesn't it? We got to boil some water. Put into it the pieces of meat, all the choice pieces, the legs and the shoulders. Fill it with the best of these bones. Take the pick of the flock. Pile wood beneath it for the bones. Bring it to a boil and cook the bones in it. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the city of bloodshed, to the pot now encrusted, whose deposit will not go away. Empty it piece by piece without casting lots for them. For the blood she shed is in her midst. She poured it on the bare rock. She did not pour it on the ground where the dust would cover it to stir up wrath and take revenge. I put her blood on her bare rock so that it would not be covered. You know, you and I have this charge that we want to get rid of. We throw it out and the ground takes it up, doesn't it? The blood that he's talking about that came out of the bones when they brought it to a bowl, they cast upon the rock. Jesus told them to cast it, God did, to cast it upon the rock. Not upon the ground. The ground would have took it up and it would have disappeared in a few. But the blood was stained that rock. And it was evident there for a long, long period of time. And so that's what he's getting it to do. Verse 9, he said, therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the city of bloodshed. I too will pile the wood high. So heaped on the wood, kindle the fire, cook the meat well, mixing it with spices, and let the bones be charred. See there? You can use salt, you know. Despite what my wife says, you can still put a little salt on stuff. He said, mix it with spices. Let the bones be charred. Then set the empty pot on the coals till it becomes hot and its copper glows, so its impurities may be melted and its deposit burned away. It has frustrated all efforts. Its heavy deposit has not been removed, not even by fire. You know, even, you know, last week we started talking about the bronze and the tin and the silver and stuff, and they put them in the fire and they skimmed off the impurities off the top and had what was left was pure. He said, even doing this, there's no impurities to be removed, not even by fire. 13 says, now your impurities is lewdness, because I tried to cleanse you, but you would not be cleansed from your impurities. You will not be clean again until my wrath against you has subsided. And he said, you're going to live in this sin and wrong. You're going to have to deal with what you've done in your heart and your life. And how long is that going to be? 70 years, that's right. They just well get ready. 14 said, I, the Lord, have spoken. The time has come for me to act. I'll not hold back. I'll not have pity, nor will I relent. You will be judged according to your conduct and your actions, declares the sovereign Lord. So he has pronounced his judgment upon Jerusalem and the children of Israel, and did it in a allegory type way, used some pretty lewd illustrations and stuff of how a woman's body could be molested like that, and relating that to, and but most of all, they thought they'd gotten away with a lot of things. What'd they find out? What about us? You know, we may think, you know, but when we stand face to face with him, what are we going to know? That's right. That's the reason he gave us a wonderful thing when he gave us forgiveness. You know, he said it's his children. If we'd be faithful and just to confess, he'd be faithful and just to forgive. Cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. Now think with me for just a minute as we close this up. We've got 10 minutes, so I can do it now, I think. You would think Ezekiel, like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, you would think Ezekiel would be exempt from hardships and troubles and trials and stuff because he's God's messenger. And he can only do what? He only say what the Lord tells him to say. And well, look what happens to him here in verse 15. It said, the word of the Lord came to me, said, son of man, with one blow, I'm about to take away from you the delight of your lives. Yet do not lament or weep or shed any tears. Groan quietly. Do not mourn for the dead. Keep your turban fastened and your sandals on your feet. Do not discover the lower part of your face or eat the customary foods of mourners. I am about to take away from you the delight of your eyes. Who is that? His wife. His wife. And the Lord said, don't weep. Don't shed any tears. Don't lament. Just groan quietly. Keep all the customs of funeral celebration. And he said in verse 18, so I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. The next morning I did as I had been commanded. You know, he talked with the people. That night his wife died. And he said the next morning, I did what the Lord told me to do. And verse 19, we're human. Look what it says here. Then the people asked me, won't you tell us what these things have to do with us? What's all this allegory you saying? What did he say Sunday night was a week ago? Oh, if I go tell them that, all they're going to say is, that's some more of his riddles. That's some more of his storytelling and stuff, you know. And here they want to know one thing. Tell us what these things have to do with us. They're so sinful, so hard-hearted, they don't even realize that all this is talking to them. It's where they're headed. So he said in 20, I said unto them, the word of the Lord came to me and said, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm about to desecrate my sanctuary, the stronghold in which you take pride, the delight of your eyes, the object of your affection. The Israelites thought all this time that God would never allow the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, or any other nation or people to come against and take it, because what was there? His house. They were hanging their hat on the fact that the city belonged to him. He had accepted it. But it didn't mean nothing to him. And he used it to illustrate to him. The sons and daughters that you left behind will fall by the sword. And you will do as I have done. You will not cover the lower part of your face or eat the customary food of mourners. You will keep your turbans on your head and your sandals on your feet. You will not mourn or weep, but will waste away because of your sins and groan among yourselves. All the things that God told him to do when his wife died was what? Don't shed any tears. You know, show any grief. Don't lament either. You put that turban on your head and cover just your face sticking out, you know. Sandals on your feet. And he's given her as the illustration of how she is to deal with grief in her heart and her life, and how they will deal with the grief, what God's about to put upon them. Verse 24 says, Ezekiel will be a sign to you. You will do just as he has done. When this happens, you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. And you, son of man, on the day I take away their strongholds, their joy and their glory, the delight of their eyes, their heart's desire, and their sons and daughters as well, on that day, a fugitive will come to tell you the news. At that time, your mouth will be opened, and you will speak with him and no longer be silent. So you will be a sign to them, and they will know that I am the Lord. At the end of all of this, God's going to restore Ezekiel by loosing his tongue from the roof of his mouth and allowing him to no longer be silent except for what the Lord says for him to say. You know? And this situation here concerning them, he said, I'm going to remove all their joy, all their pleasures. You know, a lot of folks think they got the tiger by the tail, don't they? They're going to do They ain't worried about nothing or nobody, themselves. One day, what's God going to do? He's already paid the price for it. How did he pay the price? Gave his son, that's right. And he went to that cross and died for us. His blood, you know, that was spilled. Writes our name in that Lamb's Book of Life, don't it? Any question, any comment about this? I like y'all, you know, quiet bunch. Now he's dealt with the Israelites. Sunday night we'll deal with all them foreign nations, all them that he used to whip the Israelites for 70 years. Now he's going to give Babylon and Egypt and Syria and so many of them other countries their dose of medicine, you know. They thought they got away scot-free. That the Israelites had messed up, and now, oh boy, we got it made. Any thought, any comment? Can you relate to that, how it's going to be when people realize when the Lord raptures his church out of here, then they're going to, all those things that God said they're going to go through and deal with in their heart and their life. And all those thoughts of, I wished I'd have listened. Wished I'd have believed. It's too late then. Too late. Any other comment? Any other thing you want to share? I had 3 minutes to spare. I done well. Absolutely. Yeah. I could see some lewd stuff there, couldn't it? Their hearts and their lives. All the things. But let's not forget, you know, we cruised along, had a few weeks, and no funerals and no real bad troubles and sicknesses and stuff, and boom. I forgot to mention a while ago, but had to get the ambulance to come get Cindy. Monday, I believe it was. And her potassium and all them other things got all out of whack and stuff. And things. So she keeps having them spells, one right behind the other. Got to find out what it is. And her insurance wouldn't pay at one hospital, so they switched her to another. And got to get that biopsy of her liver, ma'am. I don't think she actually passes out, but she gets to jerking and jumping and like a fish out of water, you know, and like a seizure of sorts, you know. And ma'am, yeah. I don't know. They've been to the tomato patch and picked 900 pounds of tomatoes. I said, that'd kill anybody, you know. Come home and washing them, sorting them out. And they do that in summer. Huh? Yeah. Father God, we thank you for the time we've had to share tonight. We thank you for your watch, care over us, and your love for us. Lord, you give us warnings, and we better heed them. How it's going to be in that last days as you deal with your people. Lord, for all of our sick, you know each and every one, you know the troubles they're facing. Just ask God you continue to bless, guide, and direct. You've been so good to so many for so long. Bless Phyllis and Miss Sarah as they stand by their patients. Miss Winnie, she'll be there for Gerald. All these other things that we've talked about. Little Fela, give her the mind to understand. And we just pray, God, through it all, your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.